This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream house or ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
You say you'll never join the Navy.
Never climb Mount Fuji on a port visit.
Or break the sound barrier.
Joining the Navy sounds crazy. Saying never actually is. Learn why at Navy.com. America's Navy, forged by the sea.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's our house! Don't nobody come in our house!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think Caleb's got a ways to go.
Williams wants to throw it out of this set. That ball's going to be picked off.
They're just trying to overload him with everything to try to speed up his process. And the plan is from here then to start to narrow that down.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, four-time NBA champion John Sally. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I mean, what a show so far, right? I mean, it feels like that Jimmy V speech from years ago. Laugh, cry, and you live a full day, right?
A full day. That's a hell of a day.
Everything going on in New York City. That's how we started the show with my colleagues at the National Football League headquarters, dealing with the aftermath of what happened at 345 Park Avenue yesterday. Jeff Garland just came on the program and was brought to tears, recalling his beloved Ryan Sandberg, who passed away at the age of 65 yesterday. In between, a lot of football conversation with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. John Spider Sally is going to be strolling through that door and hang with us in hour number three of this program. In support of Sports Gone Wrong, which airs Wednesdays at 9 Eastern on Vice TV. It's all about blending a comedic commentary with archival footage to delve into the most absurd, unexpected, and bizarre moments in sports. Maybe that includes the ball thrown directly down the middle in Baltimore last night that was called a ball. Anybody catch that one?
I missed that.
Hey, you know, if I could
speak on that one?
I did.
You could speak on whatever you wish, TJ.
The Ryan Sandberg thing, you know, when I text you guys yesterday, it kind of hit me. Because, you know, when I was a kid, I got a job in the summer at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh one summer as a security guard. And I can just remember, I think it was like a four-game series that the Cubs and the Pirates played one another. And
yes,
my job, you know, I'm 17. I'm like a kid. What am I going to do? But I would walk the players from the clubhouse to the bus, maybe 50 yards. But for three nights in a row, I found myself standing in the middle of Andre Dawson and Ryan Sandberg walking those two to the bus. And, you know, I can't really remember what the conversation was, what they were telling like a little knucklehead me, but you always kind of remember how people make you feel. Mm-hmm. And I always remember at that moment, like, I was like, this is Andre Dawson and Ryan Sandberg. Yeah. And I thought, I felt like the coolest dude in the world walking these two. And they were, you know, very cordial, very nice to me. But I remember it was three consecutive days and, you know, the hey, how you doing? Very small talk. But, you know, that thing that I just said, people will remember how you made them feel. And all of these years later, I always remember that those two dudes just, they made me feel good.
So, little things, man, right? You're right.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm sure you made a lasting impression on them, TJ.
Not in the least. Not in the least.
I'll never forget the time you drove me 50 feet for the Dan Patrick Show
you
in the rain in New Orleans.
No recollection of that until I remember that.
How would I forget that was me? How would I forget that? You picked me up at the convention center.
No, I dropped you off.
That's right. Okay.
If you believe
it. So you took me from the set.
From the set.
To the convention center, which, you know, would have been just a 2-minute walk, but it was pouring.
It was like Noah was getting the arc.
My delicate self.
Noah was getting the arc ready. It was raining that hard.
I mean, if without you, and if you didn't take me in that lift, I might have caught cold in the air conditioning of the New Orleans Convention Center.
Most likely. So you can thank me for this all being here.
I just did. You made a lasting impression.
Well, I mean, now you're being a little sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
You know, as the king of sarcasm, I pick up on these things.
A little bit. He is sarcastic. You are, TJ.
The owner of the Cleveland Browns Jimmy Haslam met with the media today. Lots to talk about there, you know, with a new stadium there and conversation about, say, what would you say? By the way, I believe it's D with him as well as his wife. The whole idea that they've got four quarterbacks there, and a lot of people thought the reason why they drafted Shedeur Sanders is somebody gave the general manager, Andrew Berry, a little swift kick in the back of his chair, like, hey, there's a son of Dion that's out there right now that's of great value because we're one of the many teams that created that value by not drafting him before and taking another quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. And so lots, for instance, that's just a for instance. And in fact, he was asked about the drafting of Shedeur Sanders today. Here's the answer.
Yeah, listen, we have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's see, we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
Okay. My only pushback again, see, I'm a PR guy, right? I would have chosen the word choice, not call. It's Andrew Bell, so did he. He's the one who he called Shedeur, right? Because you told him to call him. That's an answer people could give. It's his choice. It was his choice. It was his decision, right? These are words that, like, it's his call. You know what I mean? Because people called Shedeur. We all know a lot of people called Shedeur.
Yeah, several people who weren't.
You know what I mean? Not to go down that road. Because it makes no sense if the general manager's decision is to draft two quarterbacks in the same draft after you drafted one, why draft in another? You know, certainly since it's that guy that you didn't want in the third round, he's there in the fifth. I don't know. Right? There's your answer. Yeah, by the way, I'm having a little bit of fun here. I do believe it was Andrew Berry's call, decision, choice. Mm-hmm. Don't you, TJ?
I have no idea.
Have to make a choice here. It's your decision.
Whatever Jimmy
it's
Haslam
your choice.
Says.
It's your call. Do you think that was the case?
No.
I know your answer.
Yeah. Clear as day.
I think it was Andrew Berry's choice. Just because he looked like he needed to blink twice and hold up today's newspaper when he was making it.
Sure.
Honestly, every draft choice in every draft room sparks like a birth of a child. Hey, here's a cigar. You want a cigar? Shake hands. Let's hug. Seventh round, we just drafted Brock Purdy. Sixth round, we just drafted Tom Brady. Hug it out. They drafted Shedeur Sanders. They were like,
okay.
That's another reason why people are thinking this. But I do believe it was Andrew Berry's choice. I do. Call me naive. Don't. Shut up.
Wait a minute. So what are you saying, Brian?
Nice.
It was...
Of course he made the call. They had already taken a quarterback in the third round. Why would they take another one?
So you're saying it was Haslam?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, speaking of drafting quarterbacks that Jimmy Haslam certainly can't give a straight answer to for sure. Can you believe somebody brought up Arch Manning to him?
Yes.
Yeah,
I can believe this.
What's the point?
No, it's Arch
what's the
season,
point?
Rich. S-Z-N.
Right.
Arch season.
We've seen him play like three games.
Is this a Colin Coward thing?
He's the one that started the whole, like, well, I hear Nick Saban and Arch in Cleveland next year.
Yeah, Arch is going to leave Texas.
Yeah.
And Nick's going to leave ESPN.
But Colin specifically said for Cleveland.
I understand
like,
that.
Like, they're the spot.
So Arch is going to leave Texas.
Yeah.
And then Nick's going to leave ESPN once
Arch is in the
press. Once what? Cleveland's already gotten the first overall pick? Let's go through the logic of this when we after hearing the way Jimmy Haslam responded to being asked about drafting Arch Manning, and they're not even at a July training camp the season prior yet.
Jimmy, the season hasn't even started yet, and the Browns are already being linked to Arch Manning. Just your comment about the buzz.
Great face.
Buzz as the season goes along.
Well, Tony, you're in the business.
It's Tony Grossi, huh?
You get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so that's, I don't even think that's worth discussing, so.
Okay. All right, can I?
And another thing, Vonnegut.
Can I? By the way, the look on his face when he was asked about Arch Manning being linked to his franchise, he was kind of like, really? He kind of looked like somebody who keeps hearing about the Epstein list.
Are we still talking about that?
You know what I mean? Like,
Why are we still talking about that?
Guys, the answer should have been, again, Jimmy, I'm here for you, bro. I just called him one of the 32.
Yeah.
One of my 32 bosses. Yeah. One of my 33 bosses. Yeah. Right, bro. Listen, sir.
If you will.
Is it too late?
Sir.
The wrong side of the barn?
We can edit it.
All right, listen.
Later.
No, don't worry about it. We're good. sir, if I might, here's your answer to that question. You want to ask me that question?
The same way, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Please do.
Jimmy, what do you think about Arch Manning?
I'm Rich.
Sorry. Oh, hey, Rich. Yeah, what do you think about Arch Manning possibly being available for you guys next year?
We are not going to have the first overall pick in this year's draft. I believe in our roster. I believe in our coaches. I believe in the quarterback room we currently have. If Arch does decide to come out, and I know the Manning family, I don't know Arch very well, but I think he's going to play 2 years at Texas. That said, I know he's that good enough from what I hear that he'd be first overall pick talent, and we're not going to have the first overall pick in next year's draft. Next question.
That's a good answer.
I like that.
That's well done. That's well done.
I would have handled it. And RES Consulting is here for you, sir.
Yeah, I would have.
But in all honesty, though, here's how this would have to go. Let's just extrapolate it out.
Let's, please.
It would have to go where Arch wins it all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Natty, okay. Heisman.
Wins it all to the point where they're and is so...
So good. Like fully a Joe Burrow type season.
So fully developed that even the Manning family...
Can't hold him
would
back.
Have to say,
you gotta
there's
go.
Nothing else for him to do at this level. There's no more learning. TJ Jefferson's rookie card is going to get him a boat. Right?
Yeah,
buddy. That card right there.
High school card, yeah.
It's going to get him something bigger next to Del Tufo's boat in the marina.
Yeah, Mike, you're going
to
lose.
All right, that's how that season's going to have to go, right?
Already got a basketball
it's already
next
happened. A dinghy compared to your boat.
While that's happening,
boy, boy.
Cleveland has an absolute holy heck of a disastrous season that their first overall...
Happen
that their first overall great job
that is
phenomenal
still
right?
Oh my god, okay, that's
and again every single time don't you remember the photos great. Associated with all those stories about Myles Garrett demanding a trade and him saying that the owner doesn't want to meet with me, right? And those, I told you, Jimmy, that's the other. Oh, that was the last time you heard from RES Consulting. Don't make that face. Those are the faces that are going to get put on these,
the faces create
these
memes.
Stories that get the hits,
that's
right?
How you get a meme.
Don't give people more hits.
Or we kind of want the hits.
I mean, I like hits.
Yeah.
So while all that's happening, Nick Saban's going to have to get this itch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? He's going to have to get this itch and he's got to scratch it.
Got to.
And all the wins that he's racking up every Saturday, sitting next to Pat with tens of thousands of kids behind them going nuts on one of the best studio shows on the air. And he's going to say, you know what? I'm taking Miss Terry to Berea. And
it's the Driving Miss Daisy sequel, I think. Yeah.
Something along the
line. Miss Terry goes to Berea.
And all of that's got to play out for this to be a... He's been linked to your organization. That's how it's all got to play out, right?
Yeah.
Because the Mannings, we have seen... do have a plan sometimes to get a member of their family drafted by the organization that they're satisfied him being drafted to.
Yes. That's a delicate way of putting that.
Yeah. With a dangling participle at the end, which I wish it didn't do. That said, if the Browns finish like 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, they do have a pick in this year's draft that belongs to Jacksonville that they could pair together next year and move up, I guess. But there's others that can beat them to that punch.
Yeah.
First overall. I mean, so much has to go into play. So I don't blame Jimmy for giving that look, except for the fact it could stay that way. See, look at all
that's
that.
That's what I'm
saying. The faces of Jimmy all look faces of Jimmy. Like he's just been absolutely hit in the face.
That's the best.
Oh, wow, look at
that's
this.
That's the best.
We got them all.
That's a meme.
The four faces of Jimmy.
That is right,
the four faces of Jimmy. Jimmy's getting upset.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Bruce Lee flip.
Yeah.
Oh,
four
boy,
faces of Jimmy. By the way, late contender for faces. Late contender.
Faces of Jimmy.
The four faces.
Got good avatars there.
You just made the list.
That's our coverage of what's going on in Brown's camp. Thank you so much. All right, let's take a break. John Sally is about to come out here. Spider Sally.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
Okay, let's add some height, some length, and some smiles to the Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of our favorites is back here, and I'm not just saying that because he's sitting here watching me introduce him. I truly mean it. John Spider Sally is back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes, yes. Bless up. Bless up. Thank you.
I always love hearing the New York accent.
Yes.
I love it. Sports Gone Wrong airs Wednesdays at 9 Eastern on Vice TV. You are part of this among the voices from the world of sports and comedy who lends comedy to some of the more wild moments in sports. Let's take a look.
You should throw this in the trash like Mike. This was bad.
No, I take it back. I wouldn't have bought this. This is horrible. Now I remember this. This is what fourth period gym class smelled like with all my 12-year-old friends.
I love Mike. I just... Oh, now it's on my fingers.
You smell it?
what do the Jordan cologne smell like?
It smelled like Bijon, but you know, because Bijon made it,
okay,
and it didn't have the notes that I like. It didn't have the musk. It didn't have the oud. It didn't have the right smell. It smelled like he said, like you were a teenager trying to impress a girl.
I love it. This has tones of like the I Love the 80s and 90s VH1 show that I used to be part of.
That's exactly
you
know, what it is.
You bring stuff back from the day and you just comment and you just let it rip.
I know. And you know, I loved it. They said it. I went and shot it. And then I pitched some shows to them. And so I haven't heard from them. They're like, oh man, you were great on the show. You're gonna do advertising. You want your own stuff? Nah, not gonna happen.
Yeah, Paul Verzi, who appeared in that clip, he's been here as well. Joey Molinaro is a narrator, so yeah. Joey's a funny guy.
Yeah, it's a really, really put together. Well, it comes on every Wednesday night, so you can check it on Vice.
9 Eastern Time.
Yeah, everybody has it.
All right, so that was a clip right there. The radio audience is about to rejoin us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Wednesdays, 9 Eastern Time on Vice TV, Sports Gone Wrong. One of the individuals part of this fun program every single week is the only guy who's a four-time NBA champion who played on the Bad Boys Pistons, who appeared in both Bad Boys movies. 1 and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, John Stamm.
Yes, sir. 1, 2, and 4.
Right? One, 2, and 4.
Don't worry.
Were you in the four? Were you in the
I wasn't in three, and I was sitting.
What
you know,
happened?
Will, I don't know. Will had us go up to Soho Malibu, and we had a private screening. And then after I went and sat next to him,
And he goes, "What, Sal?" I go, "It would have been better with me in it."
And he goes, Bad Boys 3.
Bad Boys 3, which was the highest grossing. Well, until 4 came out and did $1 billion. Did I tell you I was in a $1 billion movie called Bad Boys 4?
Let's start with this one. What was it like shooting Bad Boys, the original, like with the guys in the original?
The crazy thing was, I say it all the time, I went to visit Martin. I said something that pissed him off, but I still went up to set with him, and he was cursing me out all the way up to set. And he was like, "You know, you got to get a filter, Sal." I was like, "I don't know what a filter is." And I heard the director yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Who's that?" He said, "The young director." And I said, "Who's that over there making all that noise?" He was like, "Who?" And it was Michael Bay, and he directed my Nike commercial when I wore Nike. And he was like, "He's funny. We got to put him in a movie." And Martin's like, "You the director?" And walked away. And a couple of weeks later, he was like, "I got a role for you." And
that's how you got in Bad Boys?
That's how I got in Bad Boys, being at the right place at the right time and taking acting classes when you don't know if you're ever going to get a job. But if that's what you want to do, you got to practice your craft. So I went in and I knew I was going to play this role, and they handed me the glasses, which I now have to wear. But they handed me the glasses. He said, "Handcuff him, cut his sleeves." And it was like, it's just a scene with you, Martin, and Will. And, you know, people don't think that I know what that meant. I was like, "Oh, I'm with the principals?" Yes. Yeah. And I get to say words? You're kidding me. So it was.
How many takes?
One take.
One take.
Well,
the scene
funny.
With you, Will Smith, and Martin Lawrence took one take.
The reason I say that is they shoot it close.
Yes.
Why?
Sure.
Will's point of view, that like he moved the camera and then he said, "I'm going to do a reveal that's going to kill everybody." And it was me standing up and looking down on Martin. It's a scene that has been in every one, and especially in the last one, because, you know, Martin and I are still going back and forth at it. So I love Martin for that. I love Michael Bay for putting me in, and Will's always had my back. So, you know, it was just a blessing to be there.
When did you meet Martin Lawrence? When did that happen?
1988.
Okay.
All right. And so
you're in the NBA now, right?
I'm in the NBA. Okay. I want to do comedy. So while everybody else is going to the strip club and to the steakhouse, I'm going to comedy.
One and the same.
Yeah. Magic City is having their anniversary, 40th anniversary. No. I literally said, "This is the deal. I'm going to all these comedy places." And yes. Then I'm seeing Martin, and he's a big basketball fan.
Yes.
And I'm a big comedy fan. And it's, you know, I walked in, it was the Comedy Act Theater here in Leimert Park. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to think I was so fly with my custom made shirt. And I had a pink shirt and pant made.
Okay.
And I rented a Rolls Royce right here by the airport. And I'm driving in the hood because I know no better. And I'm by myself. And I walk in, and Robin Harris says, "Look at that tall bottle of Pepto-Bismol." And I walked back out, got in the car, came back to Century City, threw that in the trash, put on my T-shirt, jeans, and sneakers, and went back. But I was always wanting to do comedy. So if you want to do it, you got to hang around it. So I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm at the Laugh Factory. I'm at the Improv. I'm everywhere. And then Martin and I, you know, got really good. Arsenio Hall literally took me. Mm-hmm. I gave him my tickets in 1988. "What's up, Arsenio? I miss Arsenio." Mm-hmm. I don't get to talk to him. But he took me around. He introduced me to Sam Kennison. He took me to La Dome.
Come on.
Yeah. He took me, and I met Wilt Chamberlain that night.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, met Wilt Chamberlain. Hit me in my stomach.
What?
Yeah, Wilt had this thing. He was like, "Take a picture." And you standing there, I was told, "Do not loosen up around Wilt. He will try you somehow." And so I'm sitting there, and then it hit me in my stomach. He was, "Oh, you got good core." And I was like, "Oh." Yeah,
So where'd you come up to on Wilt?
Wilt was about 2 to 3 inches taller than me.
Okay.
Not as sexy, but nice. but as tall. Sure. And, you know, I... people don't realize, like, when you're a pro, you know, you a lot of guys go around and act cool. Man, I would let you know, man, you Will Chamberlain. No, oh, my boy. I saw Kareem, and Kareem didn't talk to me.
That sounds like on brand.
Yeah, it sounds like much. He had nothing to say. He talked to my brother Ron, but he I don't talk to rookies. So, you know, I just was in the mix, and I got, you know, I knew Eddie, and Arsenio, and then you get to know Martin, and then Martin started taking off.
And Eddie's the obviously
Eddie Murphy. Sorry,
right. No, I know that it's just a few people that you can refer to, yeah, just one name. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we were talking about the one and the same, as opposed to the movie Eddie that you were in,
which was a great movie, and I should have been nominated. I see you got 3 Emmys in there, and I should have at least had a, you know, I don't know. I just love Whoopi Goldberg, and she was so she would whisper things, so. And she would say, hey, don't act, be. And I was like, got it. You know, be the character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to be the character in that wonderful movie, Eddie. Everybody go see it. It's when Whoopi Goldberg takes over as the head coach of the Knicks, which might happen.
By the way, I don't know if they knocked on her door and asked the View for permission to interview her, because they knocked on so many people's doors.
Yeah, they should. I would love to coach the Knicks just to have – talk to the media after.
You would be great at it.
Yeah,
I know that. You would definitely get some headlines.
I know it.
For sure.
I'm trying to get back in, man. I auditioned to NBC. I got on the phone. My wonderful agent, Babette Perry, she set up a call. I said, I want to go back to NBC. I want to work back in television. Right. I think we need to give a different look, or we need to give a perspective that, you know, I have at watching it for so long and how much I trained. But they gave the job to Brad Daugherty and Tracy McGrady this morning. Good for those guys. I'm very happy for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just found this out, is what?
Yeah, I found it out. And at first, my cousin Mike Odom, he down in that. He tells me when people die, he tell me. He's the black part of the news, so I get all.
You got all of that.
Oh yeah.
How do you think? How do you think Jordan's going to be as an analyst? What do you think?
It's going to be a lot of, yo, that boy sucks. Man, I don't know how they paying that guy. I wouldn't have paid him. You're going to get a lot of joy. Because now.
Is that what he says in the.
He's 62 now. He's going to tell you what he thinks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of that. But his perspective is from a killer. So it's going to be really, really good. And you know what? You can tell when somebody's dogging it. Not as well as Michael. Michael can tell, and I think he's going to give. I think it's going to be, you know, at point. I don't think he's going to be constant every day.
The suggestion I gave to somebody at NBC, and I don't know if they're going to take this suggestion,
is hire John Sally.
Well, I can do that. I didn't know you were interested at the time when I had an audience with somebody in NBC management a few months ago. As I said, you should do a segment with Jordan where somebody, as you know, like the Shaqt and a Fool segment, right?
Right.
Where Shaq responds to somebody doing something silly, because inevitably somebody will say something silly. They put it on an iPad and hand it to him like they did back in the day for The Last Dance. And because you never wanted to be on the iPad handed to Michael Jordan.
No.
That is the last place you wanted to be. It's like, did you hear what this person had to say, Mike? Roll tape, and he would read it. He would look at this thing, and he'd react. That's what they should do whenever they have Michael Jordan. You know, like, don't tell him what's on the iPad. Hand it to him and let him go.
You can't be giving away, and I said that ebonically on purpose. You can't be giving away your goods, man.
You know what? But I'm a giver.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I mean, if Jordan had an exclusive deal with the Rich Eisen show, one, I wouldn't have given away.
Two, are they giving those away?
No. I wouldn't be able to afford anything else around here. You know what I mean?
I know. You guys would be done.
Yeah, we'd be.
But I'm happy to have you on talking hoops as much as you want.
And
John,
whenever you want to go on vacation again because you don't feel like working and you want me to host, I am available.
You did that.
Yes, twice.
You did that? Right. That's right. Ready to have you back.
I know these guys carried me too. You know, they don't answer my texts.
3 hours.
John Sally hasn't texted me in 3 years.
What was that? Did you not respond to a text?
John Sally hasn't texted me in at least 3 years. I look.
Matter of fact, I am going to look. What's the last time?
This, I am going to look.
By the way, in the last 5 minutes, is there more truth being told here on the show than in any other 5 minute period in recent days? That's happening right here.
And you know, I got Roku. I started watching Roku.
Well, you should.
I did. Now, this is funny. I started watching it. And then I was like, oh, Rich is on Roku now. All right. Yeah. But I saw a show with my boy Omar, who designed shoes. Mm-hmm. Like he's an unbelievable designer. He designed the Duck Boot. And Keanu Reeves has like this documentary with his partner and I was locked in. And so I was like, man, I got to talk to the powers that be.
Yeah,
I got a show called Being John Sally. Because I think it's funny. My life is hilarious. I laugh all the time. I did a show with my producing partner, Garrett Bass. Mm-hmm. And I went to all the cities that I played in, but wasn't allowed to go out. So I started in Portland, and I did all the things that people would do that a professional... We go to the cities, and I could tell you... my teammates can tell you where every Ruth Chris is, every P.F. Chang's, and where you help girls get through college. They can tell you all of those places.
Yeah,
but in Portland,
is this your pitch right now? I mean, we might have to scrub the pitch a little bit.
I'm not gonna lie. Places where you go to reinvest in the community.
Reinvest
your funds into the community.
But, and help those with daddy issues. Because I'm a good dad. See, he's the best dad ever. The greatest dad ever.
This means something vastly different from what we're putting down right now.
There's dad and daddy.
There's dad and there's daddy. I mean, daddy.
Yeah.
Right. You're on Roku. We can say stuff.
On the radio too, but it's okay. Yeah, it's no worries.
They, and they laugh. They laugh. They're in the cars.
Actually, somebody's on the phone line for you right now.
Oh, really?
Jason in Phoenix, Arizona, has got a question for John Sally. We haven't done this often, right? Jason, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, John Sally is on the program again. Sports Gone Wrong airs Wednesdays 9 Eastern on Vice TV. What's your question for John Sally, Jason in Phoenix?
John, it's a pleasure. I'm a Detroit native. You guys made my life as a 13-year-old like the best it could possibly be.
Oh, bless up.
I want to know, as a bad boy, what it was like after MJ. Threw you guys under the bus at the Tribune in 91 after shaking your hand and then said that y'all were bad champions, back with basketball, this and that, but then to later get recruited by not only you, Buddha, and Rodman, and then to go play with them after that. What was that like? Was that awkward at all? Did y'all have to make an agreement like, hey, just don't say nothing about that?
Good question. No, Jason, it's Phoenix.
Jason, I thought you were going to say, I already took the opportunity to ask, you are not my son.
Nice.
let me just say this. We don't get recruited. This is a job for us. And going to Chicago, I was supposed to be a Chicago Bull first. At least that's what Jerry Krause told me to my three meetings as a high school. Yeah,
so you're talking about draft.
He was like, I'm going to draft you. And Doug Collins is like, yeah. And I went and I hung out with Reinsdorf, who I still am really cool with because I do an event with him in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I went three times. And then they said, the ninth pick, the Chicago Bulls, and I started buttoning my suit. They said, Brad Sellers, and then I stretched. I was like, and was like, and so I told Jerry, he goes, hey, long tall, he shoots the ball better than you do. I said, no, he doesn't. He goes, I said, well, I'm going to take it out on him every time I play.
And did you?
Oh, yeah. And Brad Sellers is a good guy to me, but he didn't know what my idea was. My idea was, I'm playing against you. I'm glad we won some of those games, but I was on a personal vendetta against him, Boston Celtics, who else? Washington Bullets, Philadelphia 76ers. Like certain places that had me come in and didn't draft me, I went at him. But to go back to his question, when I got out of my deal in Toronto, and this may be controversial the way I say it, I was the only free slave in the NBA. And what I mean by that is I bought my rights back. So I had my waivers and I can choose where I wanted to go.
Yes.
And when Jerry Krause called, I said yes. And James Edwards Buddha was already there, and Dennis was, you know, taking over at that spot. We went in, and for everybody out there, the NBA is like IBM. You play in the Los Angeles office or you play in the Chicago office. So I was in the NBA. When I was young, I just said I wanted to be in the NBA. I wanted to be a Celtic because I was a Celtic fan. I love green and white, but the red, white, and blue in Detroit was my colors.
Well, I mean, and thanks for the call, Jason. I was in Michigan at, you know, as a student when the Bad Boys were taken off.
Yeah.
Mahorn and Chuck Daly wearing those suits looking like John Gotti.
Oh, you know, Daddy
Rich. And, you know, and Isaiah. And Dumars was like one of the only likable guys, you know, for a New York Knicks fan sitting there in Detroit. You guys just started beating the crap out of people. Lambeer, I despised with a passion.
Really?
Yeah, what do you mean really? What do you mean really?
He is the true American.
I give you the floor.
He comes in, takes over. Probably, I had great teammates. Ralph Lewis, Chuck Nevitt.
Chuck Nevitt.
Glenn Rice, Willie Burton, and Brian Shaw.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Geiger. I love these guys. But Bill Lambeer was about the team and winning. It took me until I came to my second Saturn return, that means 60, and it made me realize that Bill Lambeer was the person who carved and chiseled steel against steel and was like, you have all this talent, stop wasting it.
That's what he told you?
Yeah, he said, hey, why do you miss foul shots? I said, what? He said, they're free and you can shoot. Put the ball in the basket. Every basket is worth $100,000 or $10,000. Mm-hmm. Man, I went from 68 to 79 to 80 because he would, and he, you know, he didn't try to be my friend. He was the vet he was supposed to be. I didn't like a lot of things he did, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
From the outside world, though, you know,
that white and white crime got to stop.
That's not what I'm saying. And he was filthy.
No, he was
filthy.
He was
filthy.
I just saw something. I did the Byron Scott podcast, and I talked about Maurice Lucas.
Okay.
Now Maurice Lucas was filthy. Maurice Lucas was no joke. To this point, if I see Maurice Lucas now from over there and he doesn't smile at me, I'm not, I don't care if the door's that way, I'm taking the window. This is not a man that you joke with. So Bill Lambeer played the way they played.
Yes.
He didn't, he reached down at the ball, he boxed you out, and he played every single moment. There was no lag in his game.
Well, there's somebody with an opposing point of view. Larry in French Lick, Indiana. You're on the radio. Well, come on, man. Were you on the court for that one?
Yes, I was.
What happened?
What happened is...
What had happened?
What had happened was... Well, this is the deal. If Bill Lambeer was on the Boston Celtics, he'd be Heinsohn.
Okay.
Right? So he played like a Celtic, like Greg Kite. He would be a Celtic. He played hard. He, whatever ability he had, he worked it. I'm telling
you. Sure. So, but what happened on the court that caused him to take down Larry and Larry to throw a basketball at him?
Okay, so what happened is Larry pump faked Dennis. Dennis went up and his leg got caught on Larry, mm-hmm. and then Larry fell.
Okay.
They both jumped. But he didn't care that Dennis's leg was wrapped around his neck. Mm-hmm. He cared that Bill Lambeer was that close to him. And he went at Bill. But Bill didn't do anything that we don't do in basketball until Your Highness, I'm sorry, the Messiah of Life, I'm sorry, Michael Jordan came into the league. And you wasn't allowed to hit, but everybody was getting hit, right? So if a guard came into the lane,
Oh, yeah.
They were laying wood on.
This was the Bad Boys era. Charles Oakley
was now. But the real Bad Boys were the Celtics. And it's funny because what's his name? James Worthy said that. They was so dirty. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge was Danny Ainge and Bill Laimbeer in one. He was like, people wanted to kill. To this day, people want to kill Danny Ainge. Smart, good guy, right. But man, they want to go at him.
Like, including Ace Bailey?
Yes.
For drafting him? So when Larry threw the basketball, he was on, right? I mean, like, what happened then?
Well, he threw the basketball, and the referee said, Your Highness, you can't do that. And they didn't find him. They didn't tech him. Nothing.
They didn't tech him?
No. No.
Well, even maybe they thought this Bill deserved crazy. It.
When Robert Parrish was beating up Bill, the referee was standing there watching it like the rest of us, did not move until Bill was on the ground. And Robert Parrish just got a technical foul and was allowed to sit down. I heard all of America was cheering at that time.
80s was different, man.
Yeah, it was at a point. I mean, I remember when guys were going to fight. I'm so happy I didn't play against Bob Lanier. Bob Lanier was left-handed, so that means he was going to fight southpaw. And you didn't want to deal with that. You didn't want to deal with somebody fighting southpaw.
Isn't that the line from Airplane?
Yes.
Right? Kareem told the kid,
yes.
You know, you try dragging Walden Lanier.
I bust my butt every night up and down court. You tell your dad to try to drag Bob Lanier up and down.
Walton and Lanier,
it's yeah.
One of the best lines.
But and was he wasn't acting, he was being the character.
That's called a full circle.
Yes. Yes.
John, you can come anytime you want. Why are you such a stranger here?
Because it'll pay me.
That's but not... besides, we can talk about
you know,
it.
You know, I have habits I have to take care of. They're called family. daughters always have their hand out. Wife is like, yeah, you know, I want another polite. I want another reformer.
Understood.
Yeah, it's tough.
I got you. Okay.
It's tough.
Well, listen, it's great to see you. Your stories, you could go on for days.
We
could spend all 3 hours, which is why once upon a time
call
I gave you this chair.
Call your people at NBC and say, hiya, brother.
Okay. I will do such a thing. I think you just did it anyway yourself. Sports Gone Wrong airs Wednesdays at 9 Eastern time on Vice TV.
Yes.
At the John Sally or at John Sally, depending on where you want to find this man online. Good to see you, sir.
Make your next move with American Express Business Platinum. Enjoy complimentary access to the American Express Global Lounge Collection. And with a welcome offer of 150,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership, your business can soar to new heights. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum. Amex Business Platinum. Built for Business by American Express.
When was the first time you met Jordan? When was the first time you met him, shook his hand, covered him, or something like that?
Yeah, the first time I met him was at that Midsummer Night's Dream game out there in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, that was a time where guys would play in these All-Star games during the summer, and it was a real game. You know, it wasn't like they were out there like Globetrotters or something. They actually really were playing with egos involved. So that was the first time I had met him then, and we just sort of met after the game, talked and exchanged phone numbers, and saw the rest in terms of how our relationship developed. It developed from that.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that anybody learned from this documentary is that anything that Jordan ever played in wasn't just a regular game, right? I mean, that was a real, that's one thing that... That I'm sure if anybody needed to be introduced to Jordan, and there's a whole generation that did, they just learned that. And I've asked this question of every single person who we've had on this show. Did you learn anything on The Last Dance, Ahmad Rashad?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I think, you know, it's like you said when you introduced me, I had a catbird seat to all of it. And it was one of those different sort of, I've never sort of been in a situation where I had sort of free access to the locker room, you know, to the training room, to their buses, I was just there. So I got a chance to see a lot of those things. But, you know, as a former athlete, I sort of knew about a lot of them too. I was glad that people got a chance to see the human side of Michael. And you see how competitive he was and how demanding he was. And I think what I take from that is, if you think Larry Bird wasn't like that, and if you think Magic Johnson wasn't like that, then you're not really thinking the right way. So it wasn't just Michael that was just, win at all costs, put your foot on the guy's neck kind of thing. All these guys were able to do that, but Michael, what separated him was his athletic ability was way above anybody's at that point.
That was Ahmad Rashad. I believe when we were on the air during COVID, one of the many reasons why I love you guys and love working here is we all stuck together, yeah, right?
Oh, man.
And we were all making decisions collectively as a team and whatever. The reason why I bring
being
that
accountable.
Up. But we were covering The Last Dance week to week as if it was a major sporting event.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Right?
So the only thing going on.
Because everybody was like, that was everything the one thing that kept everyone together, man, was
right. So
the Last Dance.
The episode would be on a Sunday. We would come on the air on a Monday like we were covering the big event from the day before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we started, we realized that that's the cadence of the sports world during that awful time. So we had what? We had Judd Bushler on once. We had, was it Will Purdue?
BJ came in.
BJ Armstrong, right?
A few times.
Right, and then we had Ahmad Rashad as well. We were just trying to get somebody from that week's episode the day after the episode aired. And then I interviewed, after the final episode of The Last Dance, I interviewed an old friend, which was my hair. And showing my kids episode 10 is where I finally appeared as a SportsCenter anchor, talking about Dennis Rodman not showing up because he was at the wrestling.
He was a member of the NWO.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, he went to WCW Monday Nitro.
They popped me in there doing a lead-in on SportsCenter about that, and my kids were just like,
ooh, who is that?
Who is that man?
Is that your brother?
No, he's equally as challenged follically. Sir, Brett in San Diego has been hanging on forever. He might have been the one who waved goodbye to Daniel Jeremiah on his trip about 5 hours ago. You there, Brett?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
What's on your mind, sir?
I just wanted to see what you thought of the Chargers this season, what their win-loss record is going
to
be.
Well, why don't you choose, Brett? We got 2 minutes to go.
Let's go.
Play the win-loss game?
Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Yes.
It starts in Brazil. What happens when the Chiefs play the Chargers in Brazil?
No, I've only seen them beat them 3 times my entire fandom, and I might be going to this game. I think we lose week one.
Well, you can check it out on YouTube if you don't go to the game. All right, we only have about a minute and change to go, so let's whip through it. At the Vegas Raiders on a Monday nighter, what do you have?
Oh, yeah, we're beating them.
All right, 1-1, home for the Broncos now.
Beating them.
2-1 at the Giants.
Yep, beating them.
3-1, home for the Commanders.
We're taking a loss there.
3-2 at the Dolphins.
Beating them.
4-2, home for the Colts.
Them.
5-2, you've got the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy from Team 144 with Jim coming to the house on a Thursday night.
Yep, we're in the Superchargers that game. We beat them.
6-2 at the Titans.
Beating them.
7-2 home for the Steelers.
It's going to be loud in there. We're going to lose that one.
7-3 at the Jaguars.
I think we beat them.
8-3 off the bye, home for the Raiders.
Yep, we're sweeping them.
All right, 9-3 home for the Eagles on a Monday night.
If I saw what happened to the Rams last season, I think we dropped that one.
9-4 at the Chiefs.
Beat them. Beat them in December.
Oh, 10-4 at the Cowboys.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're beating the Cowboys.
Should have hired Jim. Should have hired him. 11-4, home for the Texans to try and avenge the playoff loss.
Texans, I was at that wild card game. I was sick as a dog. I think we get revenge.
12-4 at the Broncos.
And, yep, we're beating them.
13-4.
Dang.
Says Brett in San Diego. Thank you for the call. That's Brett in San Diego. Was he screen recording that conversation? I heard a little ding at the end. Did you hear that?
Yeah, perhaps.
Or maybe that's just a 15-second warning that we're about to go off the air. Great show, everybody.
Yeah.
Appreciate you taking it in. We'll be back to wrap it up on the Roku Sports Channel on Roku in a sec.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.